Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. We're live at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase and Big Joe here. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier back in the studio. We're excited to have the very funny Brian Bates here with us, a comedian, our buddy.
Yeah.
I guess you're officially a friend of the show.
Thank
now.
You so much.
I just want
Thanks
you to know that.
Me.
Right.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. And we're going to try and laugh for an hour. Joe and I were telling you during the break that next week at Comedy Key West, down in Key West, we're going to attempt stand-up comedy for the first time for me and our producer, Dr. Crane. It's something I've been wanting to do, but who knows how this is going to go, so maybe you can help us out.
So it'll be your first time and Dr. Crane's first time.
Yes.
And Joe, I know you used to host some shows at Zanies and things like that,
yes.
So you've done it some. How much time is everybody doing?
10-15 minutes.
Okay, that's about 13 minutes too long.
Right?
My first time I ever did it at Zany's, I got 3 minutes. And it can feel like an eternity.
Yeah, that's what I'm nervous about.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I have my stuff. But again, like, I can sit here and think it's funny and then just, like, get up there and, you know, you might hear a polite chuckle.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about.
I did the Grand Ole Opry last week, and they said do 10 minutes, and I've done the Opry, I think that was my 16th time to do it.
Good Lord.
So I'm not nervous about it, but somehow I just really mistimed my set, and I'm looking at the clock in the back of the room, and I'm on my last joke, and I'm like at 6 minutes, and I'm like, how did I mistime this so much? So I thought of like 4 jokes on the fly while I'm up there to fill my time, and I don't think the audience noticed. It still went well, but sometimes you just miss time, and you're like, oh, I thought that was going to be 15. That was really 2.
So, okay, I'm curious. What is it like doing comedy during the Opry? Because, you know, so many people are there for music.
Right.
And I know they have comedy acts a lot. So what is that dynamic like?
It's great. I know it sounds like I was bombing the fact that I did 10 minutes and 6. I was getting laughs, but I just somehow just mistimed how long the jokes were going to last. It's wonderful. They set you up so good because they put you, they don't put you like first. The crowd's warmed up. And, you know, it's 4,000 people there at the Opry. So they're just there to have a good time. And I've always felt like I've had good sets there. And they put you not at the beginning, not at the end, kind of like a little sweet spot there in the middle when the crowd's warmed up.
Yeah.
But I don't have the pressure of being the final act. And It's always great.
So the first time you get asked to the Opry, were you like, who's prank calling me? What's going on here? What was that like?
It was an email I got from someone at the Opry, and I'm like, how would they even know who I am, you know?
Right.
And the Opry's not something you aspire to as a comedian. So it was such a thrill. I was booked to be on a TV show. There was a show, not to get off too much of a tangent, but Greg Garcia, who created My Name is Earl and Raising Hope and a lot of great shows. He had a show come out 3 years ago called Sprung, and he's a fan of ours, of Nate Land Podcast, and he asked myself and Aaron Weber to come on to play a role on the show. It was the same date as the Opry. So there are two great opportunities for me, and I reached out to the Opry, and I said, I want to do it, but I'm already scheduled to go shoot this TV show. And thankfully, they said, that's fine. We'll give you another date. And they did.
And then there you go. You know what's terrifying? And you know this. The light at Zany's, when your time is wrapping up, that bright light comes down. And you're like, am I being raptured? Or am I being kicked out in the middle of 8th Avenue? And it's just, that terrified me when that light started shining on me. I got really nervous.
Yeah. And at the Opry, they give you the piano player gives you a note. When you have 1 minute left, you hear a ding. And that's how you know to wrap it up. But also, there's a clock in the back of the room, so I kind of know when I'm supposed to. They'll tell you when to get off.
Did you hear the ding?
I mean,
because I wouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'd be worried about.
No, he's right behind you, so I hear it. You just got to be able to pay attention. And
does the ding turn into wrap it up?
It could. It could, I guess, if I went too long. But in my case, I was going short. It's amazing, though. And I know you guys are like this, too, because you do this every day. The stuff you can think of while you're doing something else.
Yeah.
I'm up there telling jokes, but I'm also outside my body thinking about what jokes I'm going to do next.
Yeah.
And it's kind of amazing how our brains work. And I know you don't do stand-up, but you do other things where you're talking to an audience at the same time thinking three steps ahead what's coming up next. Or I assume you are.
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what – look, that's – there's times that both of us will be trying to do that, and you'll catch the other one doing it, and it's like, hey, talk for a second. Let my brain catch up.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to congratulate you. I just heard you're the new morning anchor, New Channel 5.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It's something I've longed for a long time. And I knew – how long did you work at Channel 5?
Almost 20 years.
20 years.
I put in a call to news director Sandy Boonstra. I said, you got to get
Sandy,
Joe.
Sandy called me too goofy one time. Because I applied for Hope Hines' job.
Yeah.
And I was told I was too goofy, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. There's worse things I could be called.
Man, are you leaving me and I don't know about this?
Not yet.
Okay.
No. You start tomorrow.
I start tomorrow. Good. I can do that.
It.
That's good. 20. So you worked in television behind the scenes 20 years.
Yep.
What got you into comedy?
I took a stand-up comedy class just for fun when I was 35 years old, which is ancient. For people trying to start stand-up comedy. You know, Dave Chappelle was like a teenager. Most guys who get into stand-up comedy are in their early 20s, maybe start right after college. I was 35, took a class just for fun. It was a four-week class offered by Zanies. Didn't really, just thought I would do it for fun. And I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the people in the class. I enjoyed the teacher. He was someone I could actually talk to. And so I took the next level and the next level, and then it just starts building momentum-wise, you know, and you get competitive. Other guys are getting on this local show, and you want to get on there too, and things like that. And, I mean, it was not an overnight thing where I quit my job at New Channel 5. I worked for 8 years doing both. I would go to work during the day and then do stand-up on the side at nights, weekends, or whatever.
Wow.
And finally got to the point in my career where I think I can make the move full-time. I was single at the time. And so I'd saved up my money, and I just thought, if I do this, if I try this, and I can't make it, I'm only hurting myself.
That's right.
You know? If I have to just do whatever, I'm not hurting a family. So I did it, and I made the move, and it worked out.
So what was your first, I would say paying gig, but your first, like, hey, we want you to be part of the show tonight?
Oh, my very first paying gig, it was a horror story. I don't know how they found me, but someone reached out on MySpace. That's how long ago it was.
Wow.
And she said, we're having a Christmas party at the Wild Horse Saloon, wondering, you know, if we could book you to come perform. And I was realistic. I knew I felt like I had 15 minutes. I really probably didn't have 5 at the time. But we all think we have more material when you first start than you really do. So I said, what if I get me and some of my buddies to come to do it? I was at least smart enough to know I can't fill an hour or whatever. So I got 3 of my buddies. So there's 4 of us. We each went and did 15 minutes. We didn't even know what to price them. I think we charged them $50 a person. And they were like, what? I think that was their first sign. This might be a mistake. And it was upstairs at the Wild Horse Saloon. So there's music blaring downstairs through the walls.
Oh, yeah.
So it went so badly. Even today, if I were to do that gig, I think it would be bad because there's music thumping through the walls upstairs at the Wild Horse Saloon. So that was my first paying gig. And then I remember I got hired to host one weekend at Zany's, and that was a big deal. To get to do a whole hosting weekend and get paid for that. And then it's just been a slow build over. I just turned 54 this week, so I've been doing it for almost 19 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I love the fact you pursued your dream.
Yeah.
I find that.
Yeah.
Chase and I talk about that all the time. I find that beautiful.
Yeah.
You're never too old to do it, man. Good for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So, you know, you're at least not going to be nervous. I mean, I'm sure you'll be nervous.
Oh, I'll be nervous.
But you have you're used to be in front of an audience to some degree, a different type of audience, but still, you'll have some of that stage fright, but not as like some people.
Well, and I think I'm good at like self-deprecating humor, which is, I think, what everybody likes.
Sure.
It's like, I'm just going to get up there and make fun of myself, essentially, and so.
I will tell you that when I booked this gig for us down there, I used you and John Crist and Aaron Weber, and I was like, oh, we're friends with all these comedians.
I
really think that opened the door, and I'm not saying that because you're here.
And then they called all these people, and they were all like, I don't know them.
Like, never heard of them.
Yeah,
but I really think that opened the door. So in a indirect way. Thank you, Brian.
Well, you're welcome. I don't think I had anything to do with it. And it's Monday night?
Monday night.
Yeah, there's not going to be anybody there.
It's gonna be fine. We'll be fine.
Yeah, just prepare for a small audience.
Yeah. We'll have more with Brian Bates coming up, including what he's got going on here in just a second. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Here at Bar Lines is Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
The man who spews truth from every orifice, ladies and gentlemen, Krusty. Yeah. So, I'm watching TV today.
Woo! TV, yeah!
All I keep seeing is dead celebrities hawking products. They got poor Vincent Price floating around on a toilet cake telling me about the horrors of an unfresh bowl. And I tell you something else. I do not believe Winston Churchill would eat a Dervina schnitzel.
Impeach Churchill!
Well, here's $1 those crooks aren't going to get their hands on. Isn't that illegal? I don't care if it is illegal. I'm making a stand here. Who's with me?
Take that, you greedy fat cats. March, give me your purse.
It's $42. It's everything I have. Run home and bury it in the yard.
I love you, Mom.
Oh, good one from Krusty. Chase and Big Joe live at the Omni, 102.5 The Game. Brian Bates is hanging out with us. Brian Bates Comedy, that's his website. So you're going to be in Canada in like 2 days?
Yeah, I'm going to be not only have I not performed, I've never even been to Canada. And when I first got booked there, I'm like, oh, Canada. Like, I wonder if I'll fly into the North Pole. And I look up where I'm going. I fly into Detroit and drive south.
Oh,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's essentially a suburb of Detroit. It is in Canada, but I literally drive south once I get to...
Is that Windsor? Is that where...
It's right close now? To Windsor. It's okay. I'm doing a show at a church in Leamington, Ontario. I think it is very close to Windsor.
Essex County is what your website.
Yeah.
At a church.
At a church, yes. Nice. Yes. Who knew Canadians went to church, but...
So when do you fly up? Friday?
Yeah. I mean, direct flight to Detroit. I told my mom I'm going to Canada. She's like, what? I'm like, it's an hour and a half flight. And then I rent a car and drive 30 minutes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you. Now, you've never been. Did anybody tell you, like, you can't talk about this or this, but talk about that? Has anybody, like, pre-told you to do things?
No. I mean, sometimes if it's at a church, I will ask, hey, is there anything, excuse me, obviously I know that I have to be clean, church clean, but I don't want to make, you know, sometimes weird things happen at churches, like somebody just left because something crazy happened.
Right.
I don't want to make a joke that reminds them of it. So I'll often ask the pastor or whoever hired me, hey, is there anything I need to know about, you know, before I make fun of you or or your wife or whatever, you know? And then, you know, Canada, Aaron Weber was asking me, are you concerned about them not getting any, like, references? And I don't think so. I mean, again, they're basically a suburb of Detroit.
That's
I can't imagine they're not going to get any words that I say.
Just say, I went to a hockey game once, and they'll cheer you.
Or every time you make a comment, like, eh? You
know, yeah.
No, he's one of us.
Yeah.
All right, got all that.
So I'm always curious of, you know, how much – you obviously have stuff that's going to come up in, you know, all your shows.
Right.
But then how much do you go, like, city-specific? You know, like, we're going to be in Key West. So I've been trying to think of, all right, what's a Key West joke I can make?
Well – usually if I'm in a city that has professional sports teams, I will think of some joke about that sports team. I just did two nights at the arena in Cleveland with Nate Bargatze, where the Cavs play, Rocket Arena. So crazy in front of 17, 18,000 people.
Gosh.
And I made a joke about how Cleveland is such a loving city because they've given homes to so many NFL quarterbacks. And, you know, and I just kind of went through the list of all these guys that didn't pan out, but they gave them a home when no one else would. So that's a local reference I do there. I mean, sometimes if this place has a hockey team, I will do a joke that I have about the Nashville Predators because they're going to follow hockey. You know,
yeah.
My joke is very similar to a sketch that SNL just did.
Your joke came out a long time ago before
that
sketch.
Yeah.
And you can tell you were in, like, the joke is like you were in Chicago wearing that.
Yeah,
Preds jersey.
Yeah, basically I say you wear a Predator shirt in Nashville, people knows what that means. In other cities, not so much. People usually catch then what I'm implying. And then I said, I went to Chicago. I was at the zoo, and I wore a shirt that said, proud to be a predator. And then I get an interaction with a dad who's wearing a Chicago Blackhawks hat. I thought he was talking trash when he was asking me if I was a predator, you know. And that's the gist of the joke. Yeah. SNL did something kind of similar this right. weekend. I don't think they stole it from me.
But yours that was funny. Yours was a lot funnier.
Thank you.
Because I've got that Proud to be a Predator shirt. I've had that shirt for 20 years.
They took it a little darker than I do in right. my act. And I don't do that Predator joke. I do it in hockey towns, but I'm not going to do it at a church because
yeah. No, right, exactly.
That's a little too much.
So I noticed on your calendar there's a few shows that say 13 and older. So mm-hmm. so you obviously will change some things based on your audience.
I don't really change much. I'm clean everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. The Predator joke's a perfect example of a joke that I would do at a comedy club that I consider clean, but not clean enough for a church.
Yeah.
But I try to get these comedy clubs to do 13 and up shows if they will, because I'm clean and that brings in more audience. Sometimes
right.
families will bring their 14-year-old son or whatever. Yeah. And so I'm the one that asked for that. And a lot of times they'll say, we can't do it because of liquor laws or something yeah. like that. But sometimes they'll say, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
Good for you.
No, that's cool.
Yeah.
And look, I like clean comedy because it's, you know, I think it's harder. Yep. It's more authentic. Mm-hmm. And I think, no, I mean, look, if you drop a cuss word or whatever every now and then, like, okay. But I think sometimes, you know, some of these raunchy comics, it's like, man, that's just low-hanging fruit.
Some of my favorite comedians are dirty comics.
Yeah.
It's just this is what works for me. So
sure.
This is – it wouldn't be authentic if I was up there telling raunchy
oh,
stuff because
yeah.
that's not
yeah.
me.
Right.
So but, let's ask this. So you're sitting here with the Omni downtown. There's 50 people here.
Yeah.
When you walk out in front of 17,000,
yeah.
how cognizant are you that there are 17,000 people there? And I know they're there to see Nate. I get all that.
Sure.
But you're part of the show as well.
Yeah.
Do you have to work harder to let them know who you are, or you just do your thing?
I just do my thing. I mean, Nate has a lot of guys on the show, so I'm usually doing like 8 minutes. So I am nervous. I won't say I'm not nervous, but I get more nervous when I'm headlining, doing an hour in front of a really small audience, because that's more work, you know? I mean, there might be 12 people in the audience, and nobody laughs sometimes.
Right.
I got to do it up there for an hour. 8 minutes, I'm doing my best 8 minutes, 17,000 people, there are going to be some laughs.
Yes.
You know, so I'm nervous, but not as nervous as some other shows I do.
What's you and him are good friends.
Yeah.
And his rise to this is unprecedented.
Yeah.
And you host the Nate Land podcast, which is huge.
Yeah.
Do you ever stop and think, what's going on? Like, how am I here? Because
yes.
I would.
Yes, yes. I think it daily, how fortunate I am and blessed I am. And I talk to guys sometimes who are getting into stand-up comedy late in life, and I don't want to discourage them because I'm kind of I hate to say inspiration, but they see what I did. And
yeah.
Like, well, it's not too late. But I got so lucky to, mainly with Nate, to kind of ride his coattails, you know, and to this high level. So, yeah, every day I think, I can't believe, you know, I did Bridgestone Arena with him.
You did?
When he set the attendance record.
You did. I was there. It was very funny.
Yeah.
But I think you're being too nice on yourself. You earned this right. You weren't walking down the street and Nate's like, hey, that guy over there, you look funny. But you busted your butt for this.
I did, but I was fortunate to meet him and become friends. And he wouldn't keep me around if I wasn't funny. I'll
right.
admit that. But at the same time, I know a lot of guys out there who are super funny, funnier than I am, that just hadn't got the opportunities that I have. And so I do feel fortunate.
It's funny that you reference, like, the age. I mean, I'm 38.
And, yeah.
But to me, I'm looking at this as, hey, I've always kind of thought about doing it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's kind of going to be a hobby. And then wherever it goes, it goes. Like, but I'm not planning to call you or Nate and go, hey, can I get on the tour and be at Bridgestone Arena? Like, that's not where I'm at yet.
That's totally the right approach. That's kind of the approach I had. I wasn't planning on someday quitting my job and doing this full time. It just kind of worked
yeah.
out because it is so hard. But, yeah, you're 38. You've got a leg up on most people who are doing it for the first time just because you're, again, used to talking
yeah.
publicly and things like that. But, yeah, that's the right attitude to take. And that's what I do tell guys. Look, if you're just having fun and enjoying it, by all means, do it. If you think, like, I want to quit my job and you know, and you got six kids or whatever, that's not going to happen probably ever. Certainly not anytime soon.
Yeah, I think it's good for you. There's a friend of mine who he lived in Huntsville and he worked at a newspaper, and one of the copy editors quit, and he said, "What are you going to go do?" He guy's 40 years old.
Yeah,
and he said, "I'm going to go try to be an NFL kicker," and they all laughed. And he was going to, he quit his job to try to be an NFL kicker, and it lasted about 3 months.
Yeah.
So I think you need to be realistic in your dreams.
Yeah.
And this was a dream you could attain and get.
Right.
And then you got it there. I think what you've done is quitting a job that you, to chase your dream.
Yeah.
And I don't say you quit a job. You're like, I need to move on
right.
to next level. And
right.
you did that, and you didn't look back. I tell people all the time, well, what am I going to do? Well, you'll figure it out because you've always figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you figured this out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I appreciate you saying that.
I don't have questions. I have statements, so I'm sorry.
I'm talking about sports.
Right, yeah. So you're here. You're doing it. So you're getting, you are an inspiration.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It could all end tomorrow. Who knows? But
yeah, you're right. It could. You could. And you're a fellow Middle Tennessean, too, which is even better.
Yeah. I may get stuck in Canada and not be able to get home.
Well,
who knows?
We'll have more with Brian Bates live from the Omni Nashville Hotel. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Baby.
Where did you go to college?
Oh, party school. Middle Tennessee State University.
Now we're talking. See, that was it.
Blue Raiders, baby.
Do you
don't even remember it. Blacked out.
I tell you what, I'm about to whip his ass.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. I'm not sure what that was. What was that?
Yeah, I have no idea. I just heard some language I don't like.
It sounded like you.
It was me. But I don't know
it was. You guys don't know who that was?
Not really.
I thought it was some comedian or something you guys were setting us up for.
No. Nick, you want to let
us
know?
It was your guess.
Oh,
I got
it was you,
Brian. Don't worry.
That was you?
Who was I talking to?
You were on the Consumers Podcast.
I was on the Consumers Podcast.
I asked Joe at the end of that.
Oh, so
okay.
Because I was supposed to say nobody on that podcast said that. So.
No.
Okay, I got you. That was me on the Consumers Podcast, and then you put Joe on at the end.
That is correct.
Okay.
That went down in the trash can of terrible.
That was
A for effort, though, buddy.
Yeah. I was just last week. I went to St. Louis and did the Consumers. That's another podcast on the Nate Land. Entertainment.
Nice.
Greg Warren,
very funny. I mean, all you guys are in that same, you know, room. I mean, it's very funny. We laugh our tails off, man.
Yeah. Greg is great, but he had a miss last week, so they had me come fill in. But I did go to Middle Tennessee State University, Blue Raider.
Yeah, Blue Raiders.
All three of us did.
Yeah, we sure did.
So,
you had no, when you were there, you had no inkling that you wanted to do this
at MTSU.
Yeah,
no, I wanted to do what you – I wanted to be a sports reporter, sports anchor, and then –
we could have told you that was a bad idea.
Right.
And then I got hired at News Channel 5 as an associate producer, and I'm like, well, that's a job, you know.
In the door.
It's in the door. And then you get so busy just trying to keep your head above water and climbing the ladder that, you know, I just kind of put that dream aside, so to speak. And just always work behind the scenes at News Channel 5. But, no, I was just trying to get a job at a TV station when I was at MTSU.
So,
I was thinking about comedy.
So when did you two first meet?
I don't think we ever met. I just think we were just – if there was like an event that was going on after hours or something, because I was a cameraman for a long part of that, and he was behind the scenes. So it's not like we saw each other on crime scenes or wherever we were.
Yeah, I knew who you were because you – were on TV.
Yep.
Some there.
I got ended up being on there. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I knew who you were, and then you started, you know, hosting some events at Zany's.
That's right. Yeah, we did. So here and there, but like I knew Nick Barris well.
Yep.
I knew Jimmy Farmer.
Yeah.
So a lot of the guys work in the field, so I became really good friends with all of them. And then you talk about wanting to be a sport. I think Hope Hines is a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hope will never die.
Yeah.
So we're trying to do sports at Channel 5. Hope is never going to go anywhere. And Hope is an idol of mine.
Yeah.
So we don't realize right now how important a Hope and a Rudy and a Chris Clark, how important a Ron House, Demetria. They were like our extended family. And you were part of that. And I was fortunate to be a small part of that too.
Yeah. I just watched Channel 4's 75-year anniversary special, which I assume you saw or was part of.
I was shocked they put me in there.
Okay.
In there for like 3 seconds.
Okay. And yeah, I grew up here in Nashville, so Dan and Demetria and Bill Hall and Rudy Kalis. But at News Channel 5 also, we had Chris Clark that I got to work with, Vicki Yates, Ron Howes, Hope Hines. Those are legends.
Absolute legends.
We grew up with here.
When I was in high school, I did a job shadow.
Yeah.
And my grandfather knew Chris through Rotary Club, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to go spend an entire day with Chris Clark.
Yeah.
Which, as a kid that grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, watching Channel 5 and, you know, my dad and mom and grandparents all watched the news, I was like, this is the coolest thing. This will never be topped.
Yeah.
And it,
you're
it
right.
was. And it was. Like, it was. Like, I got.
Until today.
Until today. I got to meet Vicky. I got to meet Hope. And
oh, he was still working in New Channel 5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I know he got into being a professor after the fact.
Well, that's what I was leading to, because he was a few years later my professor at MTSU. So it kind of went full circle.
Yeah.
But it was so cool. And everybody over there was so nice.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, you know, they're the number one and nobody was touching them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could have all been very cocky about that, but they weren't.
Yeah.
Like, they were, it was, they welcomed me and they were like, why do you want to get into this? Well, here's what you need to do and learn this. And, you know, Ron was great and the Weather Center and stuff. So, I mean, there's a reason why they have been, you know, at the top for so long. And then through my dad and a guy that you probably knew too, Joe knows, Michael Kilbane, I got to go to Channel 4 and meet Dan and Demetria and Rudy and Bill Hall was still around at the time. So, I mean, it, you know, local news in this town is, it's pretty cool because it just hasn't changed a whole lot.
Yeah, I interned at Channel 2 in 1994, and Bob Mueller and Ann Holt were two other legends, and Bob's still doing it.
Bob's still doing it.
And Bob still had the mustache.
You ever stare at that mustache of Bob?
I try not to.
It'll get you. It's like a tractor beam in Star Wars,
and then
you're done. Bob came to you one time. This is funny. Bob's like, Bob's great, but he, you know, you'd have to go out of your way to talk to you. And so Bob one day knocked on the sports office door. He's like, what's going on, big guy? And I'm like, oh, God, he wants something.
Yeah.
I'm like, pretty good. He's like, you got a dollar I can borrow? I'm going to grab a Diet Coke. Never bought me my dollar back, and I got him a Diet Coke. But those were fun to do that. When you write now with your comedy, observational, do you take stuff like from maybe the news world or things you see every day? Because you have a knack, very few people do, of making that funny. That's very hard to do.
I don't write much about, no, not really. I mean, I write about observational stuff in my day-to-day life, but not specific like about events or things like that. I avoid politics because it's so divisive. And nowadays, almost anything you mention going on in the world, people will put their filter on it and see it as political one way or the other. So it's really hard. I really just stick to kind of talk about myself and my life and things like that, you know, it's authentic.
Yeah, well, it's funny now. People are like, well, so-and-so's coming to town, and he's got 87,000 followers on TikTok.
Yeah.
But he's never done stand-up.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, how's this going to work? And why are you, I don't, you know, I got to see the raw stuff and what you've done and what's how you broke into the business. I mean, it was very raw.
Yeah.
You're on the stage.
Yeah.
And we brought you here today to get advice from you for next week in Key West. So that's that. But you came in when there wasn't the TikTok and all the Instagram, and you had to get on and earn it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, social media was just starting kind of when I got into stand-up comedy. Like I said, I had a MySpace page, and then pretty soon after that, Facebook came along. But, yeah, so many people have made a career just from social media. But I just did it the old-fashioned way, just kind of build an act. And
got it done. Are you – I see that when you go on Instagram, you go to comedy clubs, people show up and they'll sound like the Nate Land podcast shirt or hat, something
like
that. Are you shocked how popular that podcast has become?
Yes, because before I joined that podcast, I didn't really – no one knew who I was. And I've been doing stand-up for 14 years, I guess, 13, 14 years at that time. And I'd done a couple of I'd done at least one dry bar comedy special at that time, and been around, been opening for Nate some, but still no one knew who I was. So once that podcast started, people got to know me, started coming to my shows. It was just shocking.
Good.
Shocking. Now, Nate's so big that the podcast, I thought the first time I went on the road and did a show opening for Nate, everybody there was going to know who I was too. I was wrong. Because Nate is so big that that's one small piece of the pie for him. I don't think most of the people there even know he has a podcast, because they know him from Saturday Night Live. They know him from years of his stand-up specials and just so many different ways they know him that, you know, maybe 10% of the room knows who I am because of the podcast, but not like I expected.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – I see the pictures, the people talking about y'all, and it's just – I mean, you and Dusty and Aaron Weber. I mean, come on, right? Yeah, it's like the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and Nate is Ringo.
Nate's Ringo.
exactly.
When you saw him do SNL, like the skit that everybody goes back to is the, you know, him being George Washington or whatever. I remember seeing that for the first time and just going, that is so – like nobody on the face of this earth could have pulled that off.
Yeah.
It was so perfect.
I was there in New York. And I went to the, you know, they do a dress rehearsal show before the actual live show. And I went to that and watched that. And that sketch was further down in the show. But it got such a good response that when they got ready to do the live show, they moved it to the front.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they try to go with the strongest sketches up front. And then it did great in the live show, too, of course. So it's funny how... they didn't even realize really what they had until it got in front of an audience, and then they saw, like, oh, we got to move this up. And there was a few sketches in the dress rehearsal that did not make it in the live show.
Oh, wow. So is it true they do a East Coast version and a West Coast version, right? Or do they do just one and play it back?
I think they just do one and play it back.
Okay. All right. I thought they used to do two. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I don't know.
Yeah, they just did one. That night.
Well, they do a dress rehearsal, right?
Yeah.
Like you're talking about?
Yeah.
And then they can figure things out, and then that's when the real
that's
show
cool.
goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
they,
cool.
Then they literally go into Lorne Michaels' office and kind of talk about what worked and what didn't, what to cut and what to move around.
I'd be terrified because you got to go your A game right there. I mean, it's so difficult to new comedy each week like that.
Yeah. I remember the night before, the Friday night before, going back to the hotel room with Nate, and he said, I think that Halloween sketch will probably be the first one on the show because it's so funny. He shot it over Halloween, and not only was that not the first one, it didn't even make the final cut. No one ever even saw it.
Oh, wow.
So that's how you just don't know until you get in front of a live audience what's going to work and what doesn't.
So I know you with Nate, like, you go to Canada. Where are you next week?
Next week I am kind of a crazy run. I am in Plano, Texas. Then Waco, Texas. Then I fly from there to Tacoma, Washington, do two nights in Tacoma, and then drive down to Portland, Oregon, and do a show there, and then fly home.
Are you by yourself?
I mean, I'll have openers, but I'm traveling by myself, yes. The venues all provide the opening comedians.
So what's that like? Do you bounce stuff off yourself? Like, are this going to work? I mean, I guess you spend a lot of time talking to yourself.
Well, I did that anyway. Right. I didn't get married until I was 48, so I got used to that. You know, every Monday night at Zany's, at the lab at Zany's, they do a Nate Land Live show, which I think you've been to before, right?
Yes, very funny.
And I kind of use that as a place to practice material. They also have over in the main room at Zany's on Monday nights, New Material Monday. That's kind of what that's designed for, is to work on new material.
Yeah.
So I try to, like, that night maybe do two sets and have any new jokes, I try out there. And then if I'm doing an hour, like a headlining set, I'll put new jokes in the middle just to try to fill them out. And if it doesn't work, then I'll just move on.
So you got – that's where you get your feeling from? That's your pulse? Like, all right, it worked Monday night, so it's going to work in Tacoma. Or like, God, nobody laughs, so I'm not going to use it. It's a good little run for you, though.
Yeah, yeah. I just try to joke – last week that I thought was going to be so funny. It's a local joke about when I was in high school, Carlos Groves played East Robertson.
Yes.
Played Tennessee. I went up to him. They came to Lebanon to play basketball, and I was such a sports nerd that I went up to him and got his autograph when I was in high school. He was in high school. I was in high school.
Yeah.
He was embarrassed. My friends were embarrassed. Everyone was embarrassed except me. And I shared that story on the Nate Land podcast one time, and he got such a huge laugh. I told it other night at Zany's, and just crickets. It just, you know, it's just different. And then I told a follow-up about Jared Curtis, who plays now at Nashville Christian School.
Yes.
And there was this rumor that he was coming to Vanderbilt, you know, whatever. And we took a tour. This is like 2 weeks ago. My wife and I took a tour of Nashville Christian School for our daughter. you know, considering to go there, and I see him, and I'm like geeking out as we're planning our daughter's future. I'm geeking out over a high school kid that's standing next to me. And I'm, you know, I'm wanting to get my picture made with him. So I shared that story on stage, and that was a bigger laugh than I got.
Really? Yeah. How about that funny? That was a good one.
But I just got to learn to whittle it down a lot. You know, I start off telling a lot of information and knowing this is probably too wordy, and then you figure out where you get the laughs and just whittle it down. I think I did literally a better job telling you guys just now than I did.
You know what, Carlos Groves, you know what I remember best about him?
Getting the fight with Shaq.
Getting the fight with Shaq in the SEC tournament.
Yep.
Yeah, he did. Everybody backed down from Shaq, but Carlos Groves.
Yeah.
Went right at, and Dale Brown got into the fight.
Yeah.
They were throwing haymakers. Yes, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Well done on that.
Yep.
Yeah. How was – you do crowd work?
A little bit. Not much. I have one joke that I will do some crowd work while I ask the audience a question. And I'm nervous because I'm not good at crowd work, but I have an out. I have if it's not going anywhere, I have a line that I can say that will get a laugh and get me back on track.
Is it fire? Get out of here.
Maybe it should be. Keep that in mind for Monday.
Or,
that might be a good idea.
That could be a good one. May have to use that. Brian Bates is with us here at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll have more with him. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Bar Lines.
I know that one. That's Charlie's Angels.
That was, yeah. I thought that was Charlie's Angels.
Don't know the reference, but
I know. Dr. Crane's just all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing.
By the way, our good friend Nick Barris has weighed in and said hi. Yeah, right?
Was it Nick or Mick?
Pass.
Both.
Okay.
He hates it when I call him Mick.
You know, he hates it. We had season tickets together for a few years at the Titans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. We both ended it the 3 years ago when we were the number one seed in the AFC?
Yeah, 21.
Yeah, we ended it after that. But for about 5 years or so, we had seats together.
Oh, where were the seats?
They were in the loge section of Nissan Stadium. So
I don't know what that means. Is that like
sports guy? So you just walk in.
Right here I am.
It's basically the front row of the upper deck.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Yeah. You know, there's the lower deck, or not deck, but lower area. Then there's the club level at Nissan Stadium, and then there's the upper level, and then the front of the upper level. They try to make you feel good by calling it the load. So they can charge.
It sounded great. We're chasing like, what? The load?
Yeah, does the team look any better from up there, or still the same old crap?
Well, we were good that last season. And boy, did we get out at the right time.
Yeah, pretty bad. Now, you grew up here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Chase, I'm like, I still think it's very cool when the Green Bay Packers come to my hometown, or the Cowboys. Because growing up, that was never a thought in our mind that pro football would be here.
Absolutely. We started a fantasy football league at New Channel 5. Nick started it, 1995. We're still playing in this league.
Oh, nice.
31 years later. But then the Titans come to Nashville. Well, first the Oilers and then the Titans in the late 90s. And I'd go to games. I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching guys that are either playing on my fantasy team or against my fantasy team. Because, yeah, growing up here, to go to the Nashville Sounds was such a big deal to me.
Huge.
Just to walk out. And then I remember one year we went to Atlanta to watch the Braves. I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching these guys, professional athletes. So, yeah, it's still amazing.
Would you like to have pro baseball here?
Hey, I'm wearing the hat, Nashville Stars.
Oh, you are, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Totally is.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I would love it. I would love it. Yeah.
I think it's going to – he and I argue about this all the time. I think it's going to happen within 10 years.
It's going to happen – so Rob Manfred, I think – he's going to leave at the end of 2029. I think his term's up or whatever. And he said he wants to do expansion before he leaves. So I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
At least announce in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be Nashville and Salt Lake City.
I think they have to figure out the Rays, you know, the stadium thing down there.
Yeah.
Because he did say that of the A's and the Rays. The A's are going to Vegas, so that's figured out. Get the thing figured out in Tampa. And then, yes, I agree. I think they expand.
And just
every major sport's going to be at 36 teams before this is over with.
Mm-hmm. But this would get it to 32, right? If
right.
they added two.
Right.
Which evenly just divides out better.
Where do you build the stadium, Brian?
Oh, that's a good question.
Murfreesboro.
Starwood Amphitheater.
Oh, yeah. I'd go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, again, I hear rumors about mean, I'm sure.
I think you got that hat. Yeah. You get all nervous. I think you know more than you're telling us. I think you're in on the inside with Major League Baseball, Brian.
I don't know. I don't know if it'll be in Nashville or Williamson County.
Yeah, either way, I hope it happens. I mean, I'm a Braves fan. I'll always be a Braves fan. Mm-hmm. But I would love to see baseball here and would obviously support it as well.
Yeah, I'm a Braves fan, but if they came here, I would switch my loyalty immediately. I'm such a homer.
It's funny. And I might too, but like, you know, I started as a Cowboys fan, then the Titans got here. Yeah. And I am a Titans fan, but I'm also still a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like the Braves, though, was like my first love.
Right.
And it would be really hard for me to completely turn that off, even with a local team. But yeah. I don't know. We'll see. They need to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I grew up a Cowboys fan, too. And
We're basically best friends.
Yeah, so. Basically.
You are. Yeah, nice national stars, everything.
Do you guys want to give me a joke before?
Well, not a joke, but an observation.
Okay, go ahead.
The happiest people on the planet are meteorologists when it's going to rain 5%. You ever see how giddy they get? I mean, they're just like, the next week it's sunny and 80. But that rain chance of 5%, they get all excited. That's my observation. That's not going to go over well in Key West because of your reaction. Mike, that off the list. Gone. All right.
Well, I guess in Key West, there's 5% chance at least every day.
Right. There you go. I'm going to go hide in the closet now.
Mine is, you know, I'm really excited to be back in Key West. People were telling me how beautiful it is and told me that, you know, if you come down here, you're probably going to fall in love. You're going to find true love. And so far, I've been here for 2 days, and I've gotten 2 new grandmas. That's all I got to this point.
You made him laugh.
Okay, made him laugh. I don't know if that was a sympathy chuckle.
I didn't even realize yours was a joke. Sorry. I was going to make laugh at yours too if I knew that.
That's the title of my new book. I didn't know this guy was a joke or not. No.
I thought you were talking about like local news again. I'm
but
like,
they are, right? I mean, they get all excited when there's a chance of rain.
Yeah, I guess there's something to talk about.
They're so excited. I had a boss one time that came to me at Channel 2 and said, you know what the hut level is, right? Yeah. Houses using television.
Sure.
And he was so mad that the weekend was going to be pretty.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? He's like, because it's not going to be inside. Then, like, 2 weeks later, it was going to be rain all weekend.
Yeah.
So excited. I'm like, why? He's like, everybody's going to be watching TV. I'm like, that's how you go through life?
Yeah.
Looking at things like that? No way, man. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
So,
that's funny.
A lot of characters. All right, plug, where are you going to be? Canada Friday?
Yeah, Canada this Friday, for all you Canadians listening to the show. And then next week, I'm in Texas and Washington and Portland, Oregon. I don't have any local shows, unfortunately, on the books
right
now.
That's good. Yeah. Because you're getting out of here.
Yeah,
good.
Exactly. So I don't have anywhere to plug locally. But, yeah, just go to BrianBatesComedy.com and look me up.
When are you in the Opry next time?
Nothing on the books, but it's usually like, here's what will happen. They'll email me and say, hey, we had a cancellation next week. Do you want to come do it? And I'll say, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I don't usually know too far ahead.
You got any Porter Wagner jokes?
No, there was one time I tried a Jeannie Seeley joke. This is before she passed away, and it didn't hit real well. So I'm like, you know what? Just stick to the hits.
It's a heck of a place to do that.
He is Brian Bates, BrianBatesComedy.com. That's where you can find all his shows. Brian, thanks for doing this, man.
Thanks for having me. Good luck in Key West.
Thank you.
Can't wait to hear about it.
Oh, yeah. It'll be something.
You'll hear about it that night, Brian.
That is for sure. Well, more coming, including Brady Shea at 2:15 in hour number 3, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.